Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Rambo theme go.
There's levels to your love, and we keep on climbing up, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller, and Luke Moore is here.
All right.
And Pete Donaldson's here.
Nice to see everybody.
Yeah, professional Pete Donaldson.
Professional Pete Donaldson. Just got off the plane from New York, and I'm ready to get sleepy.
Did you go there to bring Luke back?
I did, yeah.
You didn't have time to go.
Behind enemy lines.
You didn't have time to go to Japan to get Jim.
No.
You incorrectly said at the end of last week's show that we have a full compliment next week. You lied to them.
I thought we had. I thought Jim would be back. Jim got engaged. Well done, Jim.
Hey!
Congratulations.
Jim Campbell. Yeah.
I don't know whether he wanted it out, but it's out now, isn't it?
I mean, the big news is I'm back. That's the big news.
Did you get engaged?
It is news.
Screw you, Noah.
Well done for last week, chaps. I enjoyed it.
Thanks very much. Well, I'd say the big news is that the Swiss Attorney General has opened criminal proceedings against Sepp Blatter.
This is great. And before you go any further, I really like that allegedly what's happened is, what has been reported is, that Platini, who was anti-Blatter yeah. at one point for an election, received a payment into his bank account, mm-hmm. then became pro-Blatter, and then FIFA said, no, it was for work that Michel did for us like 9 years ago.
Right, okay.
Which there's no contract for or an invoice, and it took us 9 years to pay him. It's nothing to do with
he emptied the paper shredder, of which there are a million.
It's the arrogance of it I like.
Oh, yeah.
I like
love it.
No one's going to check. No one's going to bother. Just do what you want. How much do you want?
We've got an excuse as dartboard, and we just throw a dart at it going, yeah. It was work he did.
9 years ago, it was work. And we've got a surplus. Yeah. So take what you want.
Whatever you did back then, was it worth £1.3 million?
Yeah.
It's like a vending machine that just dispenses like hot molten gold.
You can imagine it. Whatever you did back then, was it worth £1.3 million? What, in today's money, adjusted for inflation? that sounds about right.
The inflation of rent and mark era Germany, yes.
Yeah. Hyperinflation.
Yeah. Well, and Jerome Valcker, he's on gardening leave, isn't he?
He is.
Yeah.
Is he on gardening leave or is he just taking a little break?
He's on leave.
Okay, right.
I just like the term gardening leave.
Is he on leave because someone said to him, it would be better if you weren't here for a while?
He was very. It wasn't his idea.
No, okay, right. That sums up nicely. Okay, right.
Yeah.
He turned up to work one morning, pass didn't work,
yeah.
got back in his car, drove home again.
The ride of the Valka.
Or as I like to call it, the dream situation.
Are you still paying me?
Probably on full pay, yeah.
There is always that fear. I've got about five. I work for five different companies, and every time my security pass doesn't work in one of them, I think, have I been fired?
Yeah.
The life of a freelancer.
Yeah. I think Jerome Valka rung up FIFA and said, I've got five words for you in the form of a question. Full pay pending an investigation. Excellent. Thanks very much.
Yeah. And
the most lucrative haiku I'm going to do this week.
Yeah.
And then he headed off in an Andorran direction.
Yeah. Where can I go where they won't get me?
Where can they go where they can get me? Where can they go where they can get me?
It would be great though if he disappeared and there was a manhunt for Valka if he was found or he was wanted.
Like the Nazi hunters of South America. Lovely.
It'd be class.
Beautiful.
Yep. Well, if Seppi is found guilty of any wrongdoing, and you and me could decide his fate, how would we punish him, Luke?
I've got down here, make him Southampton director of football.
Hang on.
Partly because he would be terrible, and they've got a really good setup down there, and I'd quite like to ruin it.
Yeah.
Bring in your own agenda to
I
the
like
table.
That, because Luke doesn't bring his own kind of tribalism into this podcast.
Not very,
very
often.
Often.
I've been off for a week. So
no, he doesn't bring his Portsmouth tribalism.
Yeah.
Everything else.
I thought to myself, I've been off for a week, let's remind them all what I'm all about. and it would serve like a multifaceted solution to my personal problems with Southampton. One, it would ruin their setup.
Yeah.
Two, they would probably get done for some sort of like financial irregularity.
Mm.
Three, it would be bloody good.
Harry's probably still getting paid anyway, so don't worry about it.
Yeah. I was going to say, they've
by
Portsmouth
as well, I expect. Yeah, so it's just all round, it'd be good fun. And even the Southampton fans would have to admit, in their most honest moments, that it would be a bloody good laugh.
Really?
They probably won't.
I don't think even at their most craven would they think that
no,
would be.
No,
Peter.
I would make
Sunderland technical director.
No, I would make him do the taxes for every Premier League club. Similar to Luke's answer, really.
Yeah,
just do the taxes for every Premier League, because goodness knows, like, he probably doesn't know how to do that kind of thing.
He could probably do better than Messi and Mascherano, allegedly,
and Neymar,
exactly.
Allegedly,
and Neymar, yeah,
Neymar
yeah.
as well. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're all at it.
Thinking a bit of a theme running through that. More than a tax return.
Very good.
Meshkayan tax return.
Yeah. That's right. I was trying to think of a pun on Xavi and taxi, but it didn't really work because it doesn't sound the same. But written down, what a gag.
Mm.
Excellent piece.
I mean, written down, it's average, isn't it? Given we're operating on an exclusively audio medium at the moment.
Mm. And we are running on fumes.
I'm actually missing the buffer of Jim between you and me.
Mm.
So it's like a sound buffer, because he's got very curly hair. He's like a one-man sound booth.
You're picking up on the pheromones.
I think I'll get used to it.
sure we will. Well, that bulge in your trousers doesn't suggest that you are.
Oh, come on.
I would say, off the back of, the Japanese man who ran the 100 metres, the 105-year-old Japanese man run the 100 metres in 43 seconds.
I've got a problem with this. And the problem with this, I saw this story, and the problem with this is that I think, I don't want to have a go at old people, because I respect him.
Is he lying about his age? He's really 115.
I wouldn't describe a 100-odd-year-old man as an old person.
What would you describe him as then?
A very old person.
Okay, a very old person.
I'd say he's out of age. He's completed age.
For those listeners who aren't aware of this story...
Pac-Man's kill screen coming up.
I think you two guys will remember this. But there was a old fella who used to work for a plumbing company in London. He became like the face of the plumbing company.
Right.
And he said he was like 102. And he ended up running the London Marathon.
Right.
And so what he did is he basically flew too close to the sun, got a load of attention on himself, and then they found out that he was about 80. Right, so all I'm saying is, have there been checks done?
What about that guy? Remember Dickie Borthwick?
Yes.
The oldest winger in town.
Yeah, how old was he?
72, I think, but he was still playing competitive football.
Same question. Have there been checks done?
I'm sure there have, but he's 105.
All better off with the Japanese.
I think went and had a little look-see.
Okay.
Okay, this man is very old. Off the back of that.
I don't think the Guinness Book of Records have access to like DNA tests and stuff like that. I think their scientific division is very lacking. It's just young people with clipboards, isn't it?
Yeah,
photogenic youngsters with clipboards.
I see Guinness Book of World Records is very much a belonging in a bygone era.
Yeah.
It's a pre-internet thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Snops, all of that.
Well, anyway, okay, off the back of a very, very old man running the 100 metres in 43 seconds.
Better.
Setting a record for old people.
Yeah, he's probably faster than me.
Yes. Yeah. I would have Set. So I put Set would be in jail.
Yeah.
And I'd say, right, once a week you get to have a go to beat that record.
Mm.
And if you beat that record, you can get out. The world media turns up, everybody turns up to see this man disgrace himself.
Just make him really regret that foie gras. that foie gras over and over again. Just repeating on him.
Yeah, I'd say so.
I would go also for Jim Bestman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine.
He'd have to do a speech.
That would be great, though, wouldn't it?
Well, not because Jim's friends are all quite right-wing kind of East Londoners, aren't they?
What are you talking about?
Sorry, not right-wing, sorry, left-wing. Very right-on people.
I mean, that's quite an important distinction to make.
Yeah, there is, yeah.
That's literally the opposite to what you just said.
Where are you going with this? We need to get to the Premier League.
The Libertarians. No, they're not. They're very left-wing, they're very right-on, and so is Jim. And I'd just like to see Sepp Blatter do a really horrible speech that will upset everyone.
Maybe the bridesmaids could wear tighter dresses.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
No, the bridesmaids could look a little nicer.
Are you going to finish any time soon, Sepp? Thank you for your question, lady.
Yeah.
Wasn't really a question.
And then just unfold a piece of paper saying, Jim.
Yeah.
He's a group. Well, congratulations, everyone.
Excellent.
That
excellent.
Was a bung!
I think for that suggestion, Jim's got the points.
Oh, God.
Don't be angry.
It's a letdown.
All right, Pete's got the points.
Oh, yeah. Now you're changing it.
And Jim's got the points and the wife.
Pete and me have got the points because we were here last week.
Okay, that's fair enough.
There we go.
Let's go to the Premier League. Spurs are back on track. Were they ever off track, really?
They didn't know where their track was. They were playing their own game.
It was an offside track. A wonderful performance, though. Harry Kane opened his account. Even Eric Lamella scored.
But Eric Lamella's... He's a good player. Yeah, well, he's obviously a good player. He played well. I'm not sure if he scored. Marcus, you've got a better memory of this sort of thing than me, but didn't he not play well against Man City last season? I think he might have been man of the match against them last season.
He might well have done.
Has he got Man City's number?
Yeah. I think he's growing into his time there now. I mean, one thing that also surprised me slightly looking this up earlier was that Lamella played 42 times for Spurs last season,
which is
I think a lot more than many people would think. Because what happens in the media narrative is like people just go, "Oh, yeah, he's a flop. That's it."
Yeah,
and just think, "Oh, he never plays or whatever."
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he did actually appear for them 42 times last season in all competitions, which is a decent return.
Well, I guess it was the Spurs story last season was Harry Kane and Spurs. Everywhere else were a little bit faceless and nobody really were that interested in them.
I found Spurs to be quite interesting this season because I've seen them a few times. They've looked slow and a little bit ponderous, and I wasn't that impressed with them against Sunderland. Although they were admittedly slightly better in the second half, and they obviously went on to win the game, by the only real time in that game where they started moving the ball quickly, they scored, and that was enough for them to win. And Sunderland had some chances but couldn't take them. The City game was a really strange one because I genuinely find it quite a tough game to call. I think Eric Dier is really growing into that defensive midfield role. He looked good, but then on the other hand, you've got City. Took Hart and company out of the team and just looked like they fell to pieces at the back. I mean, defensively they were poor. There's a lot of weird offside decisions. I mean, two of Spurs' goals were clearly offside. The Kane one, he was the only player in the penalty area, which to me, looking at the assistant referee's role in it, should make it clear that that's an obvious decision
it
to
was,
make.
It was incredible. I think Son's goal that was ruled off offside, the only one that wasn't, was ruled off offside. Son almost looked to the linesman and the referee and sort of went, I thought we weren't doing offsides this round. None of them have been called off.
Yeah, it was weird. And then the first goal, I believe it was, because obviously City opened the scoring, and Spurs did well to bounce back. But the first goal, Kyle Walker was a mile offside. Mm. And then I think that if Hart was in goal, he probably gets up quicker and gets back into position more quickly than Caballero would have done. Caballero did, and probably saves that goal. Although, having said that, it was a nice finish off the post, wasn't it, from Dyer?
Old Dyer.
It was a proper long pull shot, wasn't it? It was like he couldn't have put it anywhere better. But Harry Kane's goal, I thought, was... Harry Kane can have a classic goal, that's a classic goal. Instinctive first shot. Like, just, one of those kind of yes strikers that gets a chance and just puts it away.
Harder than it looked.
Well, especially because it went top left.
It came in quite quickly.
Mm. I mean, yeah, obviously he'd be disappointed if he missed that, but he certainly did well. Mm. Dyer, you're right, with Hodgson watching on, will he be pondering giving him a go for England?
You know loads more about England than us, Marcus. Who does he normally play in those holding midfield positions?
I think Hodgson is... setting up to have a pivot in there, like a Carrick, and I think that's why he was trying Shelvey out in that position as well. Because I would actually quite fancy him to have a Carrick or maybe a Shelvey, slightly different type of player. And he wanted Wilshere in that role as well, with two more industrious players either side, maybe Henderson, Delf, Milner perhaps.
I personally would like to stop hearing about players being called up to the England squad right now, because I think we need a more settled squad, and I think we need solidarity.
Get called up very quickly these days.
Yeah. I just have a team and stick with it, and then take it to the Euros.
We've tried that before though, Pete.
Yeah. Lots.
The reason why you talk about England, because it'll soon be the qualifiers.
Of course,
again.
His name in the squad soon, and I think... yeah, that'll obviously be interesting. But going back to the Spurs thing, I think we've got a little bit of stick on the show for not mentioning the Spurs enough. But they've been quite boring, I think. Mm. And this game obviously wasn't boring, and it was fascinating to watch. But at the same time, I feel like I don't want to feel like I'm being unfair about Spurs. But at the same time, City were so bad at the back. Yeah. I mean, they were making lots of errors that we've not seen them make so far this season, really.
We can talk about Flamini's two goals if they want.
Yeah, right, exactly. That won't endear us further to them. But the interesting thing from Man City's point of view is that you take Kompany and Hart out of that team. Mm-hmm. Kompany, while I think he has his moments, I don't think he's as good a pure defender as a lot of people think he is, but he's clearly a leader. He's clearly in that almost John Terry mould where he gets everyone playing well and he raises everyone's game. And I don't think they would have conceded certainly a couple of those goals if Kompany was in the team. I think one came from a set piece. And
Pellegrini was strange after the game when he was asked in the press conference.
He was very gracious.
Was he?
Yeah.
Okay, when he was asked in the press conference what he said to the players post-match, and he snapped and said, "What happened? We lost 4-1. That's the most important thing. I'm angry. I am not angry. No more questions, okay?" And then he stormed off.
No, but I mean...
Choose your own very press gracious. Conference there.
But then he went the wrong way down the corridor.
Did he?
And then had to go back past the same group of reporters.
That's
and then sat down again.
Like when I was just picking up my iPhone charger, so sure. Yeah.
Like George Bush went into that cupboard that time. just checking what's in there.
Yeah.
Just checking that was still there. Put some stuff in there earlier. I want to make sure it was still there. But I didn't see that, so I might have to retract that previous comment. But what I did see was Pellegrini refused to blame the officials. They gave him an opportunity to say, "Oh, were you disappointed with the decisions?" And he didn't actually blame them. He said, "Oh, our defending was poor," and that's that.
I think one of the pivotal moments was the Loris slowdown really early in the match. I thought that was a really important moment because it was a strong hand and it was an almost definite goal for me.
Yeah, Spurs have done well to keep hold of him because there was a bit of interest, and he's a top class keeper.
A bit of interest.
Would that not have been dependent on the De Gea not going to Real Madrid thing?
Quite possibly.
Yeah, it's all
quite
linked.
Possibly.
All that stuff's linked. And by the way, Njai, however you pronounce it, he put in a nice little cameo and was excellent in the fourth goal for Spurs. Lovely turn. He looks good. He looks like he's built for the Premier. He doesn't seem to be phased white at all.
It's encouraging, though. Spurs have got quite a number of young English players in there, and Ali in there with Dyer forming a nice little partnership, perhaps in the midfield. Obviously, Kane up top as well. Good times, perhaps.
Yes, they got Dyer. I don't know whether Pochettino thought Dyer would play there long term, but he's clearly shown that he can play there. Yeah. So that's great.
They've got to be careful that he doesn't become a jack of all trades.
Exactly. But they've got Dyer, they've got Mason, they've got Bentaleb, and they've got Dele Alli in there now. All sort of quite young sort of dynamic.
And Walker as well, the two fullbacks, and you know. I think
but that's where most of their pace is coming from at the moment.
Yeah, indeed. Well, good stuff from Spurs. Well, bloody done.
Mm. Well done, Spurs.
Yeah,
Spurs.
It's a great result to beat Man City because Man City went through a decent part of the start of the season, not conceding a single goal.
I know, but then Bilic took aim.
Took their confidence from him. I actually think that the situation was that, as we said on this show, if they don't put in a result against Juventus in the Champions League, they've got such a monk on their back about the Champions League, it could really affect them confidence-wise, and it looks like it has.
Well, so this is how they get on this week, away to Borussia Mönchengladbach.
Not an easy game, that.
And of course, who's the most unpopular man at Borussia Mönchengladbach matches?
The guy who says, give me a B.
That's right.
You're not even a dad, and that's a dad joke.
Maybe I am.
It's possible.
Leicester City 2, Arsenal 5. Alexis Sanchez became the first player to score hat-tricks in Serie A, La Liga and the Premier League.
Was it a perfect hat-trick? I think it was.
He definitely got a header.
Yeah,
that's always the first one. Did he get a header?
Yeah, he did.
He's a very lithe, triangular man, isn't he, Sanchez?
Isn't that great, though? Hat-tricks in those three leagues.
You can't argue with it.
No, well, it's a fact.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's great return.
Yeah, the headed goal was set up beautifully by Ozil, I think it was. Who just lofted the ball in there, perfectly weighted.
I don't want to come across as like an old school like dragon that he shouldn't be scoring a header. Alexis Sanchez should not be scoring a header.
He shouldn't have had the space. It was following him. There was no.
Oh, you mean I thought you meant from an attacking point of view.
No.
Why is Ozil putting it up there?
No,
he's
going
along the floor.
No,
that's ridiculous.
No. Defensively, they shouldn't concede that.
Well, but if his movement's good enough that he's got himself into a bit of space.
Yeah.
Then he should be restricted, I suppose. Yeah,
Leicester's conceded 5 goals at home, so I don't think defensively they're on point.
It's a shame for Leicester. They've done very well indeed.
The problem is, and I think we said this before on the show, sort of generally, Leicester City clearly aren't going to be judged or aren't going to be relegated or going to survive based on how they do against a team like Arsenal.
Mm.
But the important thing is to get through those games without getting humiliated, because that can really undermine your confidence, especially when you've had a good start. And I think they, thanks to Jamie Vardy, largely, they managed to avoid that. But it's not ideal, clearly, to concede 5 goals at home.
I think that second Vardy goal, there was no way he should have been able to steer that past Cech. I don't know what Cech was thinking. I don't know whether he's unsighted or what. But
see, there was a lot of space to aim on, didn't he?
If you've got players there, chances are Vardy's not going to be able to get a shot through that. So just do a dive. Just dive to your left and give yourself a chance. Don't dive, mate. If you are listening, Petter, do a dive, mate.
How is your goalkeeping coaching career going?
It's a fine, you know.
Right, yeah, do a dive.
Do a dive.
Do a dive.
A save.
Do a catch.
I told you to do a save.
Do a kick. I could work on Tim Krull. I know that. His delivery's been awful all season.
We'll
do a kick,
that.
Not out.
I don't think Arsenal care. Do like 4 goals or 5 goals up.
Although
I scored 5, then why not? I still find it hard to believe that Jamie Vardy's 28.
Yeah,
I still think that he's, you know, a prospect. And you think, blimey, 3 years ago. I know it's been said before, but 3 years ago he's playing non-league.
He's worked his way up the football pyramid.
Mm. For any young aspiring footballers.
I think saying Jamie Vardy used to play non-league football.
He's not an example to aspiring footballers.
No.
On the pitch he is.
He's not an example. No, hang on a minute. He's not an example to aspiring people.
Yes.
But he is an example to aspiring footballers.
Correct.
And it's possible to separate the two.
That's correct.
The point I was going to make is that
correct.
It's cliche to say that Jamie Vardy used to play non-league football in the same way that it's cliche to say how many people can fit into Bournemouth's ground. Everyone says it all the time. Did you know that they can only fit 11,000 in their ground? Every single media says
they could fit in 50,000 if they allowed them on the pitch. So
probably
incorrect people.
True, yeah.
What do you think of Mike Dean's suitability to referee Arsenal games? Well, they've had a petition, the Arsenal fans, and they've received over 100,000 signatures.
Such an Arsenal thing to do, isn't it?
The gov.uk petition system should be abolished because it is an embarrassment to the nation.
Well, so this could be debated in Parliament now.
It won't be.
It won't, because the majority of these petitions that reach over 100,000 signatures are rejected if they're seen as a joke, which this one will be.
I thought that Mike Dean's performance in the Chelsea-Arsenal game was woeful. I think that I couldn't add any more to it than Garth Crooks already did. And it's not often I say that.
Wow.
But it was, it was strange. But it's such an Arsenal thing to do, you know. Mm. I was surprised to see them tear some of the boards off of the Spurs ground.
What do you think of Walcott up front for Arsenal?
Well, I think I like it. His finish for his goal was absolutely brilliant. And I think his record is, I'm freaking right in saying he scored 12 in his last 13 starts for Arsenal. He can't really do anymore, given that Giroud's been inconsistent.
Mm.
Giroud seems to be like a player who you could have on the bench and who you could bring on to get you a goal. But I don't know the stats and the facts around this, but it seems to me that he only sort of really does that when the game's already won.
Yeah.
He's definitely got that air of that sort of player about him. And Walcott can't really do any more. The greatest compliment you could pay to Walcott is that Mourinho changed his defensive partnership around because he knew Wenger was going to pick Walcott when Chelsea played Arsenal. He picked Zouma because Zouma's quicker.
Yeah.
He shouldn't have picked Zouma against Newcastle. Well, that's another story which I'm sure we'll come on to. But I don't think Walcott can do any more. And his finish against Leicester was superb.
His finishing is certainly up there, isn't it? I know he missed one or two at home to, was it Stoke?
I thought he was bad against Chelsea, though, wasn't he? He had a couple.
It was a funny game, though, down to 10 and so on.
Yeah. Meh.
And then 9. But some of the chances he's put away, even for England, he's been quite composed in front of goal, which bodes well. But Arsenal really do have another option there with Giroud and Walcott playing different ways and so on, and bodes well for England, dare I say, Peter.
You dare to say that a lot, Marcus.
Speaking of which, Daniel Sturridge.
Yeah,
two delightful ones.
Beautiful.
What about the volley? What about the side foot into the corner with the right foot?
I only saw the goals. What happened in the game, Marcus?
I like that Daniel Sturridge is so used to being injured, he just doesn't bother him when he comes back. Yeah, I'll score again. I get injured all the time. Comeback games are like 10 a penny to me.
He just looked fantastic, didn't he? That one with the right foot, it was so easy.
I can't trust my legs, so I'll just use them.
I do.
It was like boys v Sturridge.
Drive them like you own them.
Sorry. I do feel for... A sort of fear for Rodgers. He started to, I'm not sure if you guys saw the newspapers today, but he started talking about conspiracy theories and ex-Liverpool pros wanting him out and all this other stuff. He
spoke of a frenzy.
He just went some fucking matches, mate.
He changed the formation again, I think. Or he's changed the formation again recently. They switched from like a 4-3-3, which I think was the formation they played against United and West Ham, which was obviously disastrous because it doesn't really seem to fit the personnel, depending on who he picked. It's a little bit of a mess. And he went to a 3-4-1-2 with Coutinho in the hole.
Which
seemed to work quite nicely. But then they can't defend. I mean, they can
attack.
But they've not kept a clean sheet in like six games in all competitions, which is obviously not ideal.
Sure, that many.
Yeah, because they played in Europe, they drew 1-0 against Bordeaux. Okay. And anyway, they played a 4-2-3-1 on the opening day against Stoke. Mm-hmm. And it seemed to work. But I wonder now, this might be a bit conspiracy theory-esque, but I wonder now if Rodgers keeps changing the formation because it's the only way at the moment he can keep his players happy. It's almost like he needs to keep rotating them and keep giving players games to keep them from moaning because they've not bought well enough to fit their squad, if you know what I mean.
I think you might have something there. If he's trying to set up like he did at the start of the season where they were grinding out wins and keeping clean sheets, you're not going to keep Coutinho and then Sturridge when he's back and Firmino as well, a new signing and one or two others in there. But if you set up like that, you're more solid because they've not got a great back line at the moment. But if you then go and express yourselves like we saw against Villa, the players are going to enjoy it more and produce going forward, but you're going to leave gaps at the back. So I think actually a back three might be better, play a bit more conservatively there, but let the attack at least have a go, because at least that's exciting. I know it's a risk.
But they've just got problems in different areas, because if they play with the 4-2-3-1, which they did on the opening day, and they play Benteke right up front...
Where'd you put Sturridge?
Where are you going to play Sturridge? He's well known for moaning about playing out wide, doesn't want to play there, so you can't play them both.
Well, and Sturridge is so good, you shouldn't play him. You should play to his strengths. But how are they going to fit Benteke in that side when he comes back from injury and then Sturridge is
there?
I'm
not sure if we said it already on the show, if we just chatted about it, but one of the first things Rodgers did when he took over at Liverpool, he got rid of Carroll and made a big statement about it. Oh, he's not fit. And now he's just bought Benteke. He's essentially, obviously, he's better than Carroll, but he's a similar player. And now he can't fit him in. And then also, they've got a problem with them. If they play the three at the back, then they've got that Joe Gomez that they bought, who seems to be doing well. I mean, he picks up yellow cards. He's quite inexperienced, but he seems quite strong.
Yeah.
He obviously doesn't get in the team as a wing back. You've got to play Nathaniel Klein as a right wing back. And I don't really know role, because he played right wing back at the weekend. I wasn't overly impressed I wasn't as impressed as I am of him as a fullback. Then you wonder about him. Is he going to be happy playing wing back because he plays right back for England? They don't play three at the back. It just seems a bit. I don't think. I've said on the show before, I find it hard to know whether Rodgers is just a massive bluffer. Mm-hmm. And that one season when they came second was because they had Sturridge and Suarez scoring 50 odd goals between them in the league. Or whether he does know what he's doing, but he just tries to get a bit clever. And at the moment, it seems to me that I think he's floundering a bit. He's struggling for a formation. He's struggling for a system. And they shouldn't be conceding two goals at home to Villa. I know they won the game. They shouldn't be conceding two goals at home to Villa. They didn't need to. It was silly to do that. I think Roger might be. I don't think he's on his way out, but I think the die might have been cast.
He's not on his way out, but Klopp's on his way in.
You wonder whether the fact that Rodgers is still in the job is completely dependent on whether Jurgen Klopp wants it or not.
And Ancelotti.
But again, well. Like a lot of Liverpool fans are sort of saying this, Klopp, we need someone, you know, that knows his stuff and is a proven manager. Is Klopp really the most proven manager they could possibly bring in?
Well, at the moment, probably.
The argument is that the way he works with Dortmund is actually quite a nice fit for Liverpool. So they're not... Dortmund, obviously, in the shadow.
It's another personality manager, though, isn't it?
So, I
just don't think Klopp is as decorated as some managers that they.
Yeah, but he's always been operating in the shadow of Bayern Munich, and he took Dortmund to a Champions League final. I mean, it's not a bad return. And Liverpool aren't a team who, at this stage in their history and their life cycle of where the football is at the moment, are fancied to win the league every season. So they're almost like an underdog, aren't they, when you look against Chelsea and Man City.
Which was what Dortmund were.
So that's the theory.
He got the best out of a team with a limited budget compared to Bayern Munich. The only other manager, as I say, would probably be Ancelotti. There's not that many managers free at the moment. So it'll be certainly very interesting to see what goes on there. But Rodgers, for now, certainly got the job. And if Sturridge can keep on scoring, it may well keep Rodgers in the job, you know. Because if it gets to Christmas and they're still, you know, within, a win or two or a few wins away from the top of the league, they might just hang on in there. But if they start to drop down and people think, right, the title's over by... Not that they're realistically challenging for the title, but it's almost symbolic. If the title's already gone by Christmas, then he might be in trouble.
They've also got a busy October. I mean, they've got loads of games in October because of the Europa League. The next league game is at Goodison Park, which is clearly going to be a tough game. Everton are doing okay. Then they go away to Wire Lane, and if Spurs continue their improvement, that's going to be a tough game.
Yeah.
They play Rubin Kazan and FC Sion in the Europa League.
They're away matches.
No, they're both at home, I think. Right. At the end of the month, they've got Chelsea away.
Yeah.
And you fancy Chelsea to have got their affairs in order by then.
You certainly would. We are going to talk about Newcastle United after this.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Louis van Gaal, you got management master, the king amongst men, you big bald bastard.
Wow, Rudy.
He's not bald though, is he?
No. I like it.
He might be downstairs.
Come on. It's a family show.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
It's
like
a family nest.
I like it when we sort of start talking a bit seriously about football, then we just undermine ourselves with our own jingles.
All right, let's talk about Newcastle United.
Yeah, let's do that again.
A lot better.
Did a lot of that last week.
A lot better, Peter. They nearly had all 3 points.
I thought Chelsea were bloody dreadful for 70 minutes. Zuma still made Garth Crooks Tune of the Week, which I quite liked.
Yep.
He basically said, yes, the youngster will make mistakes, a feature demonstrated when Chelsea conceded their first goal. However, that is not the point. I'm going to disagree with that one, to be honest.
It's Team of the Week.
That's literally the point of what you're
it's
doing.
It's not Team of the Future, it's Team of the Week.
Yes, if he hadn't made the mistakes, they might have won the game. But he's still going in my team. I understand why, as we referenced just quickly earlier, why Mourinho picked Zuma against Arsenal, because he knew Arsenal were going to pick Walker up front. He's got a lot of pace. And he's also substituted Terry out at half-time for Zuma in the game earlier in the season because he wanted more pace. I understand that. Against Newcastle, to
Mitrovic.
Me,
Mitrovic is an aircraft carrier. He's so slow. Like, why not bring Terry and give them a chance of having a bit of organisation? Stick Terry on him and let the quicker players deal with, like, Perez and Wijnaldum and stuff like that. It just baffles me why he wasn't
Mitrovic
filled.
Beat? McLaren singled him out.
Everyone said he was absolutely brilliant. He lost the ball a fair bit, but he put himself about and kind of... I think he was... He looked off the pace a little bit, but he's not a quick player, but I think he... He didn't boss it, but he certainly gave a lot of the smaller players.
A few weeks ago, you called him Shearer-esque.
I said he was Shearer-esque because I haven't seen a player hold the ball up and just smash into players
because he got sent off for violent conduct.
Yeah, exactly. but you know, again, Chelsea were completely dreadful at the back. Newcastle once again have proved that the slightly more the hired gun element to Newcastle, the ones that see Newcastle as a stepping stone, which pretty much every Newcastle player does, they always raise their game for the telly games. They always raise the game for the shop window games against Chelsea. Like, and then, you know, you get the unexpected item in the bagging area from Sheffield Wednesday in midweek. You know, it's just.
I'm fairly confident that a lot of the fans see Newcastle United as a stepping stone to support at some point. Just from Chelsea's point of view, I'd defer to Pete on the Newcastle thing, but from Chelsea's point of view, I'd be a little bit worried about Mourinho picking Zuma. I think that's a weird thing to do, and it almost smacks a bit of someone who's. So again, to use the word that I used about Rodgers, just floundering around a bit. I mean, for me, that is a common sense game. It's a common sense game. What I mean is Newcastle United at the moment aren't very good. Okay, Chelsea are a better team than Newcastle. Pick your experienced players at the back. You know, of course they've lost Courtois and that's a blow for them. Terry can still clearly do a job against a team like Newcastle.
Yeah.
Pick him in there, get them organised, do the basic things properly. You'll get a goal because you're Chelsea and you'll win that game.
Yeah.
If Terry plays in that game against Newcastle, I don't think Chelsea conceded either of those goals.
No, certainly not the first one anyway.
Definitely not the first one.
That was a joke.
Definitely not the first one. So I think that's a bit of a worrying sign for me, for Chelsea, because, I mean, we're almost in October now. Next time they play, we're going to be in October. And you can't muck around for much longer.
I don't think... Wasn't the stat saying that Chelsea, no other team, has won the league from this position before?
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, they've lost so many points already.
It is a strange one with Terry, because... the only thing I can think is that he's thinking that Terry's only got this season and maybe next season left in him, so he's trying to give Zuma games, and he thought this would be an easier afternoon away to Newcastle, a team who aren't scoring, even though he's never won at St James's Park in the Premier League as a manager, or a player, of course. He never played there. But we've seen Mourinho do funny things like this before, certainly at Real Madrid, where he drops players. And has Terry done something that's upset him? Is he punishing Terry?
No, I think that's unlikely.
It is unlikely.
They're so tight, those two, Mourinho
they
and
are,
Terry.
But it wouldn't be the first time that we've seen something like this in football.
I mean, what I would say is that having Terry, you know, Zuma learning from Terry, it's a completely different thing teaching him stuff on the training field and seeing him in games and playing with him and showing, you know, him firsthand how he plays football. I think it's more important for Zuma and Terry to play together than Terry to be shouting from the sidelines and, you know, doing stuff in training with him.
But he won't do that with me. The thing with Terry is he won't do that kind of stuff with Mourinho there. He only did that when Mourinho wasn't there.
Yeah.
Tried to sort of and clearly he fancied himself as a future manager of the club. So what? You know, great. So there's Ryan Giggs at Man United. Probably Gerrard does at Liverpool. Yeah, it's fine. They're talismanic players for their clubs.
Yeah.
I just think I understand the point Marcus made about wanting to give Zuma games and that Terry's not going to be around forever. That is a regulation John Terry game.
Yeah.
Play John Terry in that game. I understand your point, Marcus, but actually, Mourinho doesn't really have the luxury of doing that this season. He needs to get back on track. They need to start winning games. And you need... If they're going to play a team like Arsenal or a team that are going to cut them to pieces. I can understand Chelsea going to Old Trafford and Martial still in great form and wanting to play Zuma because Martial is at you. He'll get you running back towards your own goal. He'll take you on. He'll challenge you and he's fast. Fine, play Zuma.
Yeah.
Against Newcastle. Terry all day.
And one of the most disorganised teams in the Premier League, you know, in Newcastle.
And Newcastle have looked appalling at the back. Yeah, they really have.
But at least, just to finish with Newcastle, it was an absolute beauty from Ramirez and a fortuitous one from Willian, which they were undone by. So it was a much better performance from Newcastle. It was a shame for them that they never managed to hold on. Manchester United, as they beat Sunderland, how's the feel-good factor returned to Old Trafford?
Well, top of the league.
Well, top of the league.
It's hard to feel anything other than good when you're top of the league.
Rooney got his first in the league. Memphis did.
Doesn't matter how you get him. Rooney did a terrible goal off his knee from 1 yard
out.
Bundle
it, Barry.
I'll take that. Yeah. The Man United game made me think that I think Manchester United are probably the only team in the league this season that haven't defended genuinely badly at some point in the season yet. Mm. All the other teams have got real, absolute ricks in them. Almost, it seems like on a weekly basis.
And
that's really fascinating for the league in general. But also, another thing that's fairly interesting is that there's no real standout candidate for the top scorer in the league this season for the first time in a while.
No, there isn't.
Because Aguero's not firing. Costa's obviously got his problems. Kane started very slowly. Rooney's just come off the back of a record-breaking drought for him. Mm. It's difficult to know who's going to Who's gonna really trouble the scorers consistently? Score loads of goals.
It's gonna be Vardy.
Well, might end up being someone like Vardy, and that then means that defensively it's much more important because
Sturridge would think, okay, he's back now, but again, how do they fit him in with Benteke?
I'd be very surprised if Sturridge is still fit at Christmas.
What about Suba Theo?
Could be. I'd be surprised if he's still fit at Christmas as well.
But, I mean, one thing, again, another turgid performance from Sunderland. Like, they're always going to get overrun. They need more up front. Like, it's been proved that Jermaine Defoe, in his current state, can't play as a lone striker. Same with Barini. Advocat's basically said that. He was quoted as saying, now we have to ask, do we go on with 4-3-3? You're literally the manager. That's your decision to make. I think this season, from January, we will see the return of the 4-4-2. I really do.
Wow, it's going to come at some point.
I think so. We need more up front. We need more goals, guys.
Get them all up front.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you are. To the Championship. Middlesbrough representing the North East.
What an own goal, though, from is it Belusky? Belusky?
I didn't see the game, but I read that Middlesbrough had 2 shots and won 3-0.
Hey. It was a beautiful diving header.
Two shots on target all game. The Nuge scored. Nuge genius scored.
He got him going after 2 minutes. They're 1 point behind Brighton at the top now. Elsewhere, West London derby. Fulham beat QPR 4-0. Mm. Hey, how about that? I'm quite fascinated by Fulham and QPR at the moment. It'd be interesting to see if they can challenge for promotion this season.
Yeah.
Because they could be in danger of spending the next few years out of the Premier League.
My feeling on it is that Fulham have spent a lot of money putting the team together. QPR also did that. That's an understatement.
Yep.
But all the QPR fans I know, and I do know a few, I don't think they think they've got a prayer at promotion. I think they're
it was actually the opposite end
of the table they were worried about at the start of the season. And they went on a bit of a run a few weeks ago. Mm. They won 3 in a row, but they're in terrible nick now. They haven't won in 4, I don't think. And also, Charlie Austin got injured.
He did, yeah.
He's going to be out for at least a month with a hamstring injury, which is a huge blow for them.
Yeah, well, Brentford as well, staying in the West London area, they've just promoted Lee Carsley.
They have. That's an interesting one because clearly they want to go in a different direction with Mark Warburton. He sort of packed his bags and went up to Rangers. Right. And 3 months later, they've fired the manager.
It's interesting with Brentford. A lot of money ball stuff going on.
But they've
there.
Not started the season well.
They haven't started the season well. But with the decline of Fulham and QPR, there could be a little spot there.
With Brentford.
A second fiddle spot behind Chelsea in West London for
Brentford. It was really weird sort of watching the Newcastle-Chelsea match with the Toonami NYC supporters. And there's a big Chelsea contingent as well in a pub in Manhattan. And with John Hudson, who we've worked
top man, nice top man, player, yeah.
Bloody good rep. And hearing them all do like chants about Fulham, in four Cockney accents, like Chelsea.
Are they all Fulham?
Chelsea would go like we hate Fulham and all that, and it's just like, wow, this is so weird.
They don't even do that in London.
I know.
Nobody hates Fulham.
I know.
It's very strange, isn't it?
They're unhateable.
And now, just on the old managers losing their jobs type thing, Steve Evans has left Rotherham.
He has.
He's obviously a bit of a naughty little sausage and an unpopular character.
He's eaten a lot of naughty little sausages.
But to be fair to him, he's taken Rotherham to the Championship.
He has.
And they stayed up last season.
Yeah.
So he's on the pitch, he's done a good job.
He's in folklore there.
Naughty little sausage. He start a grand jewel.
For people who haven't listened to the show for a long time and maybe missed this, I think Steve Evans was manager of Crawley.
Yeah.
And they got drawn against Manchester United in the FA Cup when Alex Ferguson was still a manager, and Evans was like a dog with two dicks. He was like, can't wait to have a glass of wine with a big man after the game. It's like, concentrate on the game first.
Come what may, I'll be drinking wine with Big Al.
I'm in there now.
OK, like a young Harry Secombe.
Yeah. Like 5 minutes to go and it's nil nil. He's gone off.
Shall we? Do you want to shoot off? Come back. We'll just place Livens up a bit.
In League Two, I thought to myself, should I leave this out now he's back? I can't. Portsmouth are top of the table.
Oh. They're one of only two teams in the country to still be undefeated. Can you name the other one?
There it is.
Yes, there it is.
Back again.
You guys have said this was written recently in the last week's show. Terrible by you. Terrible.
What do you mean? I didn't say it was written by. I didn't say it was written recently. I said it was written back in the day by Oldfield.
Oh, okay. Correct.
When was the last time Oldfield released anything?
Who knows?
He's got old in his name.
But they do play this at Fratton Park.
Nah.
Yeah.
Dreadful. Who's the other side?
Brighton.
Oh, right, yeah.
Two South Coast teams. But Portsmouth have got the same amount of away wins as they had the whole of last season, which is good. And so Paul Cook clearly knows the lower leagues well. So the biggest thing for Portsmouth, I think, is that, obviously I won't bore on about this too much, but my reading of the situation is that they are a big club for that division, and that brings its own problems. So they've got to try and harness that and turn their home ground into a real sort of fortress. Mm. And if they can keep going away and winning like they have been, it's...
They're not leaking goals.
Do you know what? I don't want to be too harsh, but they shouldn't be struggling in this division. Not now. They've got a good manager.
Somebody just gurgled at the idea.
That was Luke.
Were you bored?
I think I was
Luke, that was you and your
you.
Excitement about Portsmouth.
That's how excited I am. Beating the table.
Your body is making
little
noises.
Little gurgle.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it has. It has. Right, let's go abroad, damn it all. Not where the chaps have been, but they have been abroad. La Liga, Barcelona back to winning ways after they lost 4-1 to Celta Vigo midweek.
Madness.
Last week, obviously. Messi picked up an injury. Always going to be out for 7 or 8 weeks. They'll only have Neymar and Luis Suarez up front.
Gutted.
Is it a tax-related injury? Is it a paper cut?
Celta Vigo up to fourth on the same points as Madrid.
Former
Liverpool man, Iago Aspas, was magnificent in that game.
It was a great goal.
Oh, scored a couple of great goals. Mm. Real Madrid dropped points at home with Malaga, 0-0. First time in 56 matches, I think that's in the league, that they failed to score at home. That's remarkable, isn't it?
I can't actually quite compute that.
Yeah.
So that 56 games in a row they've scored at home.
I believe so.
Wow.
That meant that Villarreal's win over Atleti took them top after 6 games. Villarreal. They're top, boys. It's happening. It's happening everywhere.
It's not happening.
Aberdeen are top. Villarreal are top. Manchester United are top. All the underdogs.
Yeah.
It's not even Louis van Gaal's team.
Yeah. Fiorentina are top in Serie A. Yeah. For the first time since 1999. The year Prince sung about. Wonderful. It's all going off. It is all going off. We're going to mention the Bundesliga after this.
Man U, Chelsea, City, Arsenal, no more. Move over, fellas. There's a new Big Four.
Rambo. In Germany, Bayern are very much top of the league, though. They beat Mainz 3-0. Lewandowski scored again. He scored 2, taking his tally in Germany to 101. He's reached the 100 mark quicker than any other foreign player in Bundesliga history.
Can we talk about the goals he scored against Wolfsburg? I was watching that. They had the Bundesliga in the US while I was watching it, and I just could not believe what I was seeing.
Hashtag blood.
Wolfsburg. I think Wolfsburg, some of those Wolfsburg players might have like post-traumatic stress disorder.
I'd say so.
They were 1-0 up. Lewandowski came on. Mm. He scored 5 goals in 9 minutes.
The last goal, you're like, well, that's the cherry on the dog shit for Wolfsburg.
Roy the Bleeding Rovers. The last goal was the pick, wasn't it? The scissor kick.
It was a beautiful goal. Mm. And I'd like to point out this fact to you guys. I think I'm right in saying that Lewandowski scored more goals in 9 minutes than Niklas Bentner has scored in 3.5 years.
Good. Yeah. It's not. That's a proper Twitter BBC Sporf fact, isn't it? I like. I just like Pep's. The usually unflappable Pep. He was like, "Can I take some credit for that?
Don't look
this is
at
incredible."
Me.
he's from the opening 7 games. He scored 10 goals. Old Lewandowski, which equals the great Gerd Müller's record.
Da bomber.
The highest number of goals scored in the opening 7 games. In that game against Mainz, when Lewandowski scored 2, it was great to see. Thomas Müller blazed a penalty over the bar. It's worth checking that out. Very strange. Talking of records, though, Dortmund's Pierre Aubameyang became the first player in Bundesliga history to score in each of the first 7 games of the season. Records are tumbling. They dropped points at home, though, so they're 4 points behind Bayern. What a bit of a shame, really. Bit of a shame, but good stuff in the Bundesliga. Before we go to the highlights of the week and correspondence, let's go quickly to China, where a Brazilian forward, Diego Tardelli, wonderfully named, playing for Shanghai Shenhua, had an iPhone thrown at him.
That is amazing. It's got to be an iPhone 3, right?
No. It can't be a new one.
Or it was a 6S.
Yeah.
Because if you sell like an iPhone 3 on Mazuma Mobile or whatever it is, you only get like £2 for it now. So if it's an iPhone 3, I'm not that impressed. If it's a new one...
It was fully functioning. As he held it up, you could see.
And one of those, and the Chinese market is dominated by the larger model of iPhone. That's why they released them, because they like bigger iPhones and phones.
Diego Tardelli's been capped several times for the Brazilian national team, and now he's been resorted to that.
According to one of the broadcasters in China, where other fans attack with water bottles, Shanghai fans reach for their phones. Shanghai fans are too rich.
Maybe just some English guys.
It's only one
excited.
Fan. It's only one fan.
But did you see that guy who was going to, speaking of getting engaged, got down on one knee and presented his wife-to-be with 140 iPhones?
Did he?
Why?
I think in China you have to prove that you have a
one
bit of money.
For every day of the week.
But it is just that kind of thing going, if I was the wife I'd be like, I'm not going to marry you because you're an idiot. What are we going to do with 140 iPhones?
That's, that's 138 at a push, too many.
Indeed. Shanghai Shenhua, they're a little bit far behind the league leaders, Wangzhou Evergrande, who are top of the league with just a few games to go. Robinho and Paulinho, they play for Evergrande. So the only Shanghai side who are in contention, the 2 points behind them are Shanghai SIPG, Asamo Jan's team, and of course, Big Sven-Göran Eriksson's side.
Yeah.
Could win the league.
On the phone-throwing thing, it's a bit... I mean, how do you know that they haven't all pitched together to raise money to buy one iPhone, giving it to the guy who's the best thrower?
The best
and let
thrower.
Him throw it. You might, do you know what I mean? They're not necessarily rich because of one phone, as you just said.
I just think someone just gesticulated too heavily and accidentally just dropped his iPhone at... decorated footballer.
It was too far. I think it was. I don't think it was a drop.
I'm going to see a video on this one, I'm afraid.
Yeah. All right, get back to us, bruv.
Yeah.
And now it's time for the highlights of the week and correspondence with Luke Moore.
Yeah, I thought you did a good job with it last week, Peter.
But I think we got through a lot.
But I'm here now. I've got a press room spy update.
Bloody hell!
Hashtag right. Press room spy.
Wow. Then.
It's short and sweet. Horrible vegetarian chili in the King Power press room.
Oh.
If you're going to get yourself a bit of a free meal in the press room, anywhere in the Premier League, you don't want to be doing it at King Power, apparently.
So, hang on, vegetable chili. How does that work, then? Is it corn?
I'll leave you to ponder that, Pete. When I tell you that Andy Armsby's been in touch, saying that West Ham equalised in the minute of added time that was given in the game for Housen helping out a pigeon that had made his way onto the pitch.
Helping out.
Gutting and hilarious.
That is great, that.
Yeah. Boobar, I think that's pronounced, on Twitter, says, Sunderland taking care of Steve Bruce's legacy and getting pumped at Old Trafford.
Yeah.
Hashtag good. Brucey bonus.
There you go. That's right.
Tom has also been in touch saying, the continuing source of joy that is Steve McLaren's wispy hair island, proudly sitting atop a gloriously balding head.
Yeah, I know.
That was the talk of the Newcastle-Chelsea match. I don't think it's that exciting. I'm not really sure how the configuration excites people, because I've seen that hair before.
Horses for courses, isn't it?
Some people just like it, Pete. Yeah.
Maybe that country's more used to Trump than we are.
Yeah. Adam Flewers has been in touch saying, my highlight of the week was having more Pete on last week's show. Luke can hashtag travel more often.
Oh.
No, that got in there. How did that slip through in there?
Nice. You chose these.
Yeah, I know. Reese Heyman says, at Old Trafford on Wednesday, I saw a lino warming up, running the line without a flag, doing all the movements, practising giving offsides, fouls and all that stuff. He says, it's one of the most unsettling things I've ever seen in a footballing arena.
I like that a lot.
And I've got an email here just quickly from Dr. James Buckley.
Oh, my goodness.
He says, Brendan Rodgers using a £32 million Christian Benteke as a battering ram 2 years after taking £20 million... hit on Andy Carroll and all that stuff, as we mentioned earlier. And he also says, can I be the Football Ramble's resident pharmacologist? I do asthma research because I could help for a cure on Pete's diseases.
I'd love that. I am up to 400 micrograms of Pulmicort Turbo Hill every morning and night, so if you've got anything in the back room.
Dr James. Well, Dr James is a lecturer in pharmacology from Coventry University, so I'm sure I'd better help you. I'm sure he can get in touch with you directly.
I've got a peak flow that gets all the ladies excited.
Wheezing. Wheezing.
Right out. Look at that needle go.
My highlight of the week was Ben Arthur's goal for Nice.
He is having a lovely time, the big
check
fat monster.
Check that out, honestly. He rinsed about four defenders. Got slightly fortuitous. Yeah. But so did George Weah in that great goal for Milan, Pete.
So did Reginaldo Ronaldo in a couple of his special goals.
Exactly.
What a skillful footballer that boy
any
is.
Any more, Luke?
I've got a website roundup.
Before you do that, I'm going to say an email. Say an email from Murray, friend of the Ramble, Murray James. Hello, Ramblers. I recently turned 30. and thought I'd give a gift to you.
Okay, friend of the Ramble Rummage, good to hear from him.
He's all good. Here are some Premier League manager anagrams. Louis van Gaal, a vaginal soul.
Nice.
Strangely fitting.
Roberto Martinez, eye zebra tormentor.
Doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
Murray, if I were you, Murray, I wouldn't even put that one in there.
All right. Mark Hughes, Mr. Shake Hug.
Yeah, good. Mark Hughes has problems with handshakes. Yeah. That works. Yeah. That one works.
Brendan Rodgers, Bang Renders Rod. And a special render. Mention goes to Dick Advocate for his anagram, Cock Data Diva. Kindly go work yourselves, Murray. Well done, Murray.
I think Murray's, as a friend of the Ramble, I think I'm right in saying Murray has also recently been married. So congratulations to you.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's it.
Murray James.
Let's have a website roundup.
Yes, the always excellent Kelly Wells has said to us that this week,
footballramble.com
will be featuring the following. A heartfelt appeal to all Andrea Pirlo fans to leave the poor sod alone. An insight into what Robin Lewandowski's 5 goals in 9 minutes felt like from the other side of the pitch. Footage of a terrifying moment for Alexandra Pato's medical support team. I imagine they've had a few of them. And the usual incisive, informative roundup of games in the Champions League and weekend highlights. If you like receiving sartorial updates on Jerry Francis's hair and footage of poor decision-making from Sergio Ramos's partner, follow Kelly at Kelly_Wells. If not, probably don't.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Any more, Pete?
Yeah, Absolute Radio. Saturdays, Rock and Roll Football live Barclays Premier League commentary match will be... we are following the West Ham fans as they make the trek to the North East for their match against Sunderland. Russ Williams here from 1:30, Ray Houghton in the studio, and Barry Davies with the commentary.
Ray Houghton bought me a pint once. Lovely fella.
Yeah. Good.
Excellent. If you want to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. The Twitter is @footballramble. And you know the rest. Instagram, Facebook, and of course the website, thefootballramble.com. Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me.
Lovely.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
mate. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.